Hey, make sure you're at the newly renovated First Energy Stadium this season to see your Cleveland Browns in action at the best prices by securing your Cleveland Browns season tickets today. Visit clevelandbrowns.com or call 440-824-3434 today. Very pleased to bring on the show right now via the Ohio Business Machines hotline, our good buddy, analyst for the Cleveland Browns PNC Bank Radio Network, the one and only Doug Deacon. Hello, Doug. Doug, you with us?
I'm with you.
There you are.
I just hope I can analyze some touchdowns this week.
Right. We all do.
Man, let's start with that, I guess. But that and how it applies to this quarterbacking decision, got to get your thought on that first. The fact that they are going with Brian Hoyer, one of two quarterbacks who failed to lead the Browns into the end zone last week. But in terms of this quarterback competition, Doug, what does it say that he's getting this second start in two preseason games?
I think what it says is Mike Pettine is his own man, because we all know that, you know, when you got a national TV game and there's a lot of hype about RG3 going against Johnny Manziel, yeah, a lot of people might cave in and say, hey, you know, okay, we'll start the kid. But I think he's saying, hey, you know, I'm doing this by the way you earn it, and right now he hasn't earned it, so I'm going to go with Brian. And I think, you know, we'll see both guys play against their first defense, and, you know, it's a defense that's got some pass rushers on the outside in Kerrigan and Arapaho. So it'll be a good challenge for both of them, because, I mean, they're going to get snaps, both of them, against the first team.
Doug, Jay Gruden saying that he plans to play his starters now only about a quarter in that game. So if that is the case, it could be possible that Johnny Manziel gets very limited exposure to the opposing number one defense. So basically, you know, if that plays out, does that make it even a tougher decision for Mike Pettine, or does it just make it easier in the sense that he probably just goes with Hoyer?
Well, I think the play will dictate what happens. And I think, you know, you don't know how it's going to play out. And you just got to, you know, as you know, we've heard Mike say many times, you know, I've got to go back and watch the tape, you know, to see what really happened. And, you know, that's the thing I like about him is, you know, you see things in practice and you're not always sure. But before he makes a comment on it, he says, you know, let me see the tape and then I'll tell you. And then he'll give you a straight answer.
Deke, looking at this from the perspective of an offensive lineman and knowing how that group is intrinsically tied to a quarterback, going this, you know, this far into it even, I know it'll be two preseason games. And again, the head coach's timetable is to have a starter named by Tuesday. But do you carry doubt? I mean, like, how does that group function when it's maybe not entirely sure who the starter will be? Or at some point, do you know in your mindset, do you have a pretty good feel, you know what, this guy's going to be the one?
I think, you know, obviously the guy that, you know, wins the ball games for you is the guy that, you know, it becomes quite obvious. The other thing is, you know, when you're in the huddle, you know, how much does this guy have a grasp on the offense? Is he, you know, is he ready to go open up against the Steelers? I mean, it's a tough opening. And I think, you know, as you go through the process of, you know, trying to figure out which guy is the guy, it all comes down to performance on the field. And, you know, if you've got somebody that's unsure, you know, and I think, you know, we've seen Johnny Manziel in the last few weeks, you know, get more sure with his decision-making process. But, you know, with that said, you know, neither one of them, as we mentioned, got the team in the end zone. So, you know, when they start getting the team in the end zone, I think it speaks to the offensive line. Now, the other problem is, you know, the quarterbacks have, you know, one's a pocket passer, one moves around a little bit more. But you want that guy that, you know, be it moving out on a rollout, a bootleg, or a waggle, you want him to be where he's supposed to be. And, you know, otherwise your protection ends up being shabby, because, you know, you're thinking he's here and all of a sudden he's drifting someplace else.
Doug, what do you hope to see outside of, obviously, touchdowns and people staying healthy? What are you looking forward to assessing the most in Monday night's game?
I want to see what Justin Gilbert does. I think, you know, he's been impressive when we've seen him on the field. It was unfortunate he didn't get to play up in Detroit. You know, they've got two good wide receivers in Jackson and Garcon. So I think, you know, this will be a good test for him right off the get-go. I think, you know, you want to see, what happens with this linebacker, inside linebacker position, because, you know, Kurski has, you know, made a lot of progress, and he shows up. I mean, his coverage skills down the field is pretty darn good. So can he do it, you know, against, you know, another team? You know, he had a good one last week, probably 25 yards down the field. You know, and I think the defense, you know, this is going to have to carry this football team till, the offense gets in sync. And, you know, defensively, I think you can change defenses and it's not as hard. Offensively, when you start changing schemes, there's an adjustment period. Plus, you know, you've got a lot of new bodies on that side of the ball at the running back position. So you got a rookie guard in there who's played very, very well. So, I mean, there's some chemistry things that, you know, you got to establish.
Doug Deacon, analyst for the Cleveland Browns PNC Bank Radio Network, joining us here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Doug, back to that theme of no touchdowns last week, and a problem with that was the wide receiver group. We saw the drops on a couple of plays. Mostly we saw guys who just kind of struggled to get open, and that's been the daily function in training camp, just the receiving group not showing us a ton. Your thoughts on what you're looking for there and what you've seen. You've been at all these practices, and what you saw last Saturday night to give you any hope that beyond Josh Gordon that this receiving core can step up?
Well, the other part of the receiving core is Jordan Cameron, and he's a big, you know, asset to it. But, yeah, you want to see, you know, somebody that shows they have playmaking ability. And, you know, with the fact that there weren't a lot of guys getting open, you know, that was not one of the stronger secondaries you're going to see in the NFL. So that's a little bit alarming, and I think the fact that, you know, a couple of these receivers have injury histories. So, you know, I think those are the things that you've got to look at. So, you want somebody to step up. You know, Gabriel has shown that he's got quickness and, you know, he's got speed, but he's also shown that he's got hands. So, you know, all of a sudden you're probably wanting to take a longer look at kids like that.
Doug, this team's going to need to be able to run the football effectively. Adam Kaplan of ESPN's NFL Insider saying that he thinks this is a team that can be top five in rushing. What would have to happen in your mind for that to be the case?
Well, I think they're going to have to run the ball more than they did last year. I think they only ran the ball
and
like
better.
300 and some times. They're throwing it like 680 times, and you've got to get a better mix. And, you know, unfortunately, without Josh Gordon, you know, who can take the top off the defense, you know, you're going to start squeezing the field. So, you know, they've got to, you know, show that in the passing game they can go over the top. And in doing so, that'll get that safety out of the box. But, just getting used to the zone blocking scheme that they're using now, it takes advantage of the athletic ability of the Mitchell Schwartzes and the Grecos and the Joe Thomases and the Alex Max and the Vitanos. So it's a nice fit for them. But, and if you look at the history of, you know, any Shanahan offense, you know, when his dad was out in Denver and they took guys that, you know, you didn't hear a lot about and made them 1,000-yard Pro Bowl running backs. So the offense will, you know, I think, make the running backs look good. And it's not an you don't need a superstar running back. You need a guy that's a one-cut runner that has good vision.
Hey, Doug, one more for me. We had Garrett Gilkey on the show a little bit earlier, and he talked about this zone blocking scheme, how it really suits him because that's what he did at the collegiate level. And in general, for this whole group, I guess it's been a welcome change and that they're kind of getting it pretty well. But nonetheless, there's some complexity to it, right? And it isn't, as he said, a question of running around defenders, that you still got to get body on body, but it's that whole stretch idea. Your observations through this camp now coming to an end on how well you've seen this team sort of assimilate to that scheme.
I think, you know, a lot of, you know, the zone blocking is about footwork, you know, the drop step and the different steps that you have to take. And it's getting the guy to move and then trying to create a lane for the running back. You know, he looks to the outside lane, then to the middle, then to the cutback lane. But, you know, once that running back, you know, makes his decision, you know, he just pours it up there. And I think, yeah, it does, and I said earlier, it does fit what we have on our offensive line very well, because you have to be able to, you know, engage a body and move down the line. And if you get a double team, then the guy takes over and the second guy goes to the next level where, you know, you get the bigger run. So, you know, this is a nice fit. And I think that, you know, with the more they do it, you know, the better they're going to be. And then, you know, you've got to change of pace. You've got a Ben Tate, you know, who's been in the system. But then you got a West who's got maybe a little bit quicker feet. and then you throw in a Deion Lewis, and then, you know, you got the blue collar guy Obanaya. So, you know, each back gives you a different look. You know, it's kind of like on our defensive front. We can throw different fronts at you, and, you know, we can have the guys that can play power football, and we got the guys that can, you know, run up the field and run around you. So, you know, it's nice to have people that, you know, give you different options in the running game.
Doug Deacon will be on the call with Jim Donovan this Monday night when the Browns take on the Redskins. So listen to him on the PNC Bank Cleveland Browns Radio Network. Doug, always a pleasure. Thanks for the great insight as usual.
Okay, we'll see you guys. See you,
all right, there he is, Doug Deacon. All right, we're going to be back with the Friday forecast with special guest forecaster, as he is every single Friday, Doug Kidd, Zagura Carucci, CBD on ESPN 850 WKNR.